I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Downtown San Diego has a new museum with an entirely novel scope and purpose. Housed in the old SDG&E building on Broadway is the Brain Observatory, whose mission is improving knowledge of the brain and mental health awareness through science, education, and the arts. Speaking of arts, their current gallery exhibition features six artists who explore how the intangible mind relates to the physical object that we call the brain. Here to talk about the art, education, and science research at the core of this new facility is the founder, president, and CEO of the Brain Observatory, Dr. Jacopo Annese, who also happens to be a regular Jazz 88.3 listener. Dr. Annese, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Inside Art.
Thank you. No, it's a pleasure to, like you mentioned, I listen to that radio station all the time, so it's great to be part of it now.
Well, tell me how you started the Brain Observatory, and this is a new facility for you, so maybe take us a little bit through the evolution, the shorthand evolution of this organization.
I don't know how much time we have, because the evolution started when I was a student, and as a student in neuroscience, I always wanted to have my own lab. It was my dream to have a lab as a, you know, where I would do my research when I was very young. And obviously, it's not quite a linear path, academia. So when I finished my graduate school at Dartmouth, then I worked at UCLA for several years, you know, but kind of learning from my professors and mentors what I liked and what I didn't like of the way that they were managing their research and their lab. And eventually I was hired at UCSD in 2005, and that's when I moved to San Diego. And that was finally the kind of the dream come true, to establish my own laboratory, and which is not very dissimilar from when a chef finally has his own restaurant. The only difference is that a chef also cooks for people, while when you do research, generally you cater to a very limited constituency, which is reviewers and other scientists. So, and that's when I had the idea, because I was very interested in brain, in anatomy, and I thought it would be interesting to conceive a lab that was essentially doing astronomy, but astronomy for the inner space rather than for outer space, so our inner space that somehow it's contained in the brain. Like you mentioned before, the fact that we have this kind of intangible mind that is somehow bound within a very tangible physical, in fact, soft and bloody object, which is the brain that we all carry. So I named my lab the Brain Observatory, and that started my project. The Brain Observatory was conceived really as the Hubble telescope for neuroscience. And that's what we tried to do. So we worked with, you know, imaging technologies, because I was actually in the radiology department. But what really made the reputation of the lab was the ability to create these very detailed maps of human brains, which we would process in a way that would allow us to digitize all the information and essentially create a model at a very, very high resolution, microscopic resolution. So you could zoom in and look at different neurons. And neurons, to me, again, to make the same analogy, was to kind of trying to decipher constellations in a night sky. For us, it was trying to decipher the architecture of the brain and how these neurons related to each other. And that's also where the seed of the artistic endeavor, I think, began to germinate, because you cannot feel artistic when you work with brains, because the anatomy is just beautiful intrinsically. And I also used to say to my students and technicians in the lab, if our samples, if our preparations were not beautiful, it meant that we did not really do the protocols right.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about then your philosophy as far as creating this institution in a very public way, with a very public face in a high traffic area downtown.
Well, I mentioned before that, you know, about the chef analogy. Well, so I started feeling like I was a chef that was only publishing in culinary publications and never really share the creations and the products of our work with the public. And for one thing, we had tools in terms of brain imaging that were very advanced, and they were much more advanced than what were used in the clinic. And so I also thought that if we could bring these tools that we were using for research to the general public to help members of the public to be more brain healthy, that would be very important. And then as also, you know, the fact that there was so much intrigue and beauty in the work that we were doing, I thought it was a shame that we were not letting people participate in this discovery and share everything that we were doing. Remember, we worked with donated brains, so we knew we had a population of people in local San Diego patients who would work with us and eventually donate their brain to help our research. And so we got to know a lot of individuals who were San Diego residents, and that inevitably linked their families, their loved ones to the lab. And the grandchildren of the patients would eventually come with their classroom and their teachers. So the lab became very permeable to the public. And so I thought, well, why not be in a more, if people appreciate what we're doing and they think it's important and kids can learn about the brain and adults can learn how to be healthier in terms of cognitive aging, and why not make this our tools and our knowledge more available? And that's when I started conceiving the idea of really uprooting the lab from a university campus and place it where we would be not only visible, but also very accessible to the public. And that's where the concept of the museum, even though in all honesty, we have some work to do to graduate to being a real museum. What we can offer in all honesty now and is kind of our knowledge at the lab and show people what a brain imaging lab looks like and how it works. And as you said before, in addition to that, include more than just science. And so the fact that we moved into what used to be a gallery space allowed me to maintain that function of the space. So you said we are exhibiting now work of artists, and then I hope to curate different exhibits regularly.
So could you tell us a little bit about the current exhibition that's running, which features six artists, and it's called Imaging the Brain?
Yes, the exhibition plays on this, there's a play on words, imaging and imagining, which if you look at the spelling, they're very similar words. And the idea that while we do brain imaging on one side of the space, we also are featuring artists who did a lot of imagining of the brain. And the co-curator for the exhibit is Dr. Marius Quint from the University of Portsmouth in the UK. And we call it the suitcase exhibit because he literally brought the exhibit in his suitcase from the UK when we first opened the space. And so I give him credit for that. I ask him, Marius, can you help me, you know, do something with the space now that we're setting up the laboratory? And Dr. Quint had curated one of the most successful exhibits about brains that was at the Wellcome Trust, at the Wellcome Collections in London. And so we had collaborated on that exhibit in 2012, and he knew several artists, and the artists also very kindly agreed to send their work without being paid a fee, I should mention. So they were very, very supportive. And the artwork that we have spanned from anything as objects, three-dimensional objects and prints and videos. So it's a multimedia exhibit about the brain.
So how can people see this, gain access to it, come into the Brain Observatory?
So during Museum Month, in order to manage attendance, given that we just really got started, I set up several events on Eventbrite, this application, so that people can actually book their tours, set up several tours on the weekends through February, and around lunchtime, targeted more of the local crowd here downtown. And I think the most effective way will be a guided tour to view the space, because also me or my associate can explain what is now currently in the space and why. And we have also explanations for all the steps of brain processing. So if you're as they say on TV, you know, viewer discretion advised, because there are real brains here, and this is the nature of our research. So we're being very authentic in terms of what we are displaying. And gradually we will add to the exhibits, of course. But during February, I think we will, the most effective way to visit the space is to book your place in a guided tour. And the admission is free, it's donation based. So you can feel free. We are a nonprofit. So every help is really appreciated, because now obviously we have different prerogatives. We have to make rent. We have to be solvent in this space. Obviously, we appreciate any donation that the public makes. But we decided to have free entrance. Also because, in all frankness, I think this is a space that will evolve and obviously we want the feedback of the visitors. And depending on that feedback, the space will eventually be designed, redesigned, and become what it needs to be.
Fascinating. And you do have some aspirations for presenting live music in that space.
Oh, absolutely. So we are creating a new program called Open Mic Square, because mic stands for microscope and microphone. So the open mic, meaning that the microscopes will be available for use to look at the brain, and the microphone will be available for musicians and poets. It's an open mic setting. You know, my aspiration, you know, is to, I'm a big fan of the tiny desk concerts that National Public Radio hosts. And eventually I hope this open mic nights can evolve in something like that, so that artists can also help us in promoting mental health and can help us in our mission to talk about mental health without prejudice, and to also share how you can keep your brain healthy so you can enjoy a healthy mind until you're very, very old.
There is a very famous case study that the Brain Observatory has been a part of, as far as neuroscience history. The most important medical case in neuroscience history has happened through the Brain Observatory. Can you give us a little sketch of that?
Oh, very briefly, yes. This was was kind of a big deal. The patient HM is the name of this patient that you mentioned. And patient HM was the first individual who demonstrated that you need a certain part of the brain to be able to make memories. If you have watched that movie, 50 First Dates, it's a comedy, romantic comedy, about an amnesic individual who's trying to date this girl over and over again. You know, he was inspired by the case of patient HM. And patient HM had surgery back in 1953 because he had epilepsy. And the surgeons at the time didn't know that what they would remove from his brain was necessary for memory function. And so his case became iconic, and he was studied then for over five decades just because of the syndrome that ensued after this surgery back in the 50s. And when he passed away, because my lab was had expertise in creating these digital maps, we proposed to digitize the brain completely so that the information could be shared across all the labs and researchers who had either studied HM when he was alive, so psychologists and neuropsychologists and cognitive scientists, but also other anatomists that were interested in the function of the medial temporal lobe, where our memory function is, I don't want to say located, but I would say that this middle structure in the brains are involved and crucial for memory. And in fact, those are the structures that deteriorate in the course of Alzheimer's disease. And that's why Alzheimer's patients eventually acquired this very severe memory deficit. And that was a beautiful project too, because it was really like working on this very, very special and precious artifact. And so the sense of responsibility, the sense of it really gave me and the lab it kind of switched the way that we looked at research, because again, it was like doing some really fine historical work and very detailed curation work.
I've been speaking with Dr. Jacopo Annese, who is the president and CEO of the Brain Observatory. Once again, where can people go to get more information about the Brain Observatory and make their reservations for visiting and seeing the gallery?
They can go to Eventbrite for reservation or through our website, which is thebrainobservatory.org. And there is a link to where you can schedule your tour.
Dr. Annese, thank you again for joining us on Inside Art. We hope to speak with you again more.
Thank you.
The Brain Observatory is located at 725 West Broadway downtown. Throughout February, the Brain Observatory Gallery is presenting guided tours of the exhibition Imaging the Brain. Free tickets are available at eventbrite.com and search for the Brain Observatory. For opening hours and more information about the Brain Observatory, visit thebrainobservatory.org. Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/insideart. Again, my thanks to Jacopo Annese and Joel Ross. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art.